Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information about the City Gate, visit www.thecitygate.org.
I knew this morning, I told Dan at the beginning, I said, I don't know where we're headed today, but I'm going to try my best to navigate. I want to read one scripture to you. I promise you I'm not going to talk but just a few minutes. Don't anybody chuckle. And then I'm going to release you to just go and have a great time. I do have a question. We didn't make an announcement. We had announced that this Sunday, those of us that were motorcycle riders, we were going to ride out to Arlington and people in cars. And we have so many people that are out today that we're wondering, how many of you were, anybody ride their motorcycle here just to go on the run with us beside my daughter Dawn? Was anybody planning? Because if not, we're going to postpone it. Matt and Natalie will be back, and Thomas is out with family. We're just going to do it another time. What we're going to do is ride out to Arlington. Anybody ever been to Off the Hoof out there? They have Black Angus burgers, elk burgers, bear burgers. I mean, every kind of meat you can think of. Anyway, so I'm not seeing anybody come planning for that. You came today to ride your motorcycle or go with us in your car to eat, because we don't want to disappoint you. Then we're going to postpone it. We're going to plan it again. We'll be announcing it to do. But go with me. I'm looking up a scripture. Go with me to the book of Acts, very briefly, and verse 29. And I'm going to read that, and then we're going to back up and look at just a few things. Acts 5 and 29, it says, "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And then he went on to say, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, who you've murdered by hanging him." And so back there it says in verse 22, it said, "But when the officers came and did not find them in prison, they returned and reported, indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside. Before the doors, we opened them. We found no one inside." And so they had been, the apostles had been incarcerated. And after all of this is taking forth, Peter steps up and makes this statement, "We need to obey God rather than man." I just want to close today with the scripture burned in your heart. I'm not going to try to preach it to you. This nation, you as followers of Jesus, we're at that place. Yeah. Now, what I want to debunk is this deal. How many of you have heard, well, we need to render unto Caesar what is Caesar? I hear the religious crowd say that we can't violate. Listen, when Caesar's law lines up with biblical truth in kingdom, we honor it. But when it does not, if they come and tell you to abort your child, mandatory, you don't have to do that. You have the right. Now, will there be persecution? Will there be results? Will there be responsibility? Will there be hardships for our decision in the days ahead? Certainly there will be. But the only hope of God turning this nation back to him and us not being pushed into a corner and persecuted to a place that we cannot prevail is the hope of people saying we're going to obey God rather than man. How many of you realize how much we've let the church, I'm going to use the word deteriorate, into the traditions of man? We compromise. I've heard and I've seen the rhetoric, I've read the blog about all the pastors worried about losing their 501c3 if they preach truth. Well, I've got news for you. We don't need a 501c3. If we got to have that to be able to meet as the church, something's wrong anyway. And it's time that we count the cost of what's ahead and we rally a group of people that's going to let their yea be yea and their nay be nay. I've got news for you. We need to love all sinners. And yes, to some degree, the church has become hypocritical because we want to deal with the sin of homosexuality, but yet in many places we overlook the sin of fornication or adultery or other things that we could name. There can be a whole list. But what I'm trying to say to you is, yes, it's time for us to clean up the church, but it's going to take the fear of God to do it. I don't believe that God has called me to be the leader of the Holy Ghost Gestapo. I'm not going to follow you around to make sure that you tithe. I'm not going to follow you around to make sure you're not committing adultery. That's not the job. We need to live. We need to make sure we don't let our consciences be seared with a hot iron to where we can just do whatever's right in our own eyes with no concern of the consequences of sin. Let me just share this with you. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You can't stop. It is a kingdom principle. It is a universal principle. The kingdom and the universe is one and same and with that. But I'm telling you, it is a principle that whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you're angry, you know, back when my mother and dad, you know, some of you don't know my story, but they were married and divorced each other 3 times. And I got so filled with anger. And I wasn't a bully. I was a defender of the weak, but I went to places of darkness and would sit around and watch a man begin to abuse a woman. And I became her defender because of the anger. There was anger in me. It just wanted to hurt someone. Listen, you reap what you sow. And it's time that we move out of the compromise. And Watchman Nee's book, The Spiritual Man, he has a whole section right in the center of it on passivity. And the church is the most part. Let me tell you why we've become passive. Because we moved into being reactive to circumstances rather than proactive by Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit telling you to do? You don't have to do it the way I do it. I'm the one. I'm willing, if I have to go to jail to keep from violating God's word and doing a marriage between people of the same sex. I do not believe that is a biblical marriage. Let me tell you why. Because God had Adam and Eve come together because he wanted them to have family. And when two sexes come together, they cannot produce family. Yes, they can adopt. Yes, we can do. But all of those are compromises. Yes. Amen. Amen? Amen? So what I'm leaving you with today is this. You'll be faced with a decision, whether it be on your job. I mentioned the name yesterday around someone I know, a name from my past. And the man said, yeah, I knew him. He said he used to come in, and the man that I was mentioned around was a pastor. And he said he used to come in to where I did some bivocational work, and he would tell some of the filthiest jokes. And finally one day he came in, and he started to tell one right in front of me. And I said, look, you need to stop that right now. You won't do that anymore in this place. And the guy broke and went into a back room, and he repented to the pastor, and he repented for what he did. Listen, sometimes it just takes standing your ground. Amen. I remember John Osteen. Anybody remember John? Ever heard? Love John Osteen. I remember him telling about how he went to buy a Cadillac, and the salesman went to look up something and couldn't find an invoice, and he just began to glorify the devil, taking God's name in vain. I remember John telling this. It just tickled my heart. I was so young in the Lord when I first heard it. He said when that salesman quit glorifying and using God's name in vain, he just jumped up and for about 10 minutes he just praised Jesus. Danced all around the little cubicle at the salesman then. And when he finished, the salesman looked at him like he was crazy. He said, what are you doing? He said, well, you're glorifying your father. I thought I'd glorify mine. I want to tell you, we've got to take our nation back. But we got to move out. Listen, it's not just the homosexuals that have moved out of the closet. The Christians need to move out of their closet. Amen. We need to move out of our corner. We need to know that we can make a difference. I believe you're the people that will make a difference. I don't believe you're the people that might. I believe that you're the people that can make a difference. We can share the love of God. But can I tell you, we need some Christians that's willing to turn over tables. I don't apologize. This is the way God made. Turning over tables easy for me. I mean, sometimes I'd rather have a riot than a revival. Because I believe riots can lead to revival. Amen? I'm just telling you, we need a revolution in this nation. But we need to get revived. And can I tell you something? Can I vent for 45 seconds? We don't need revival as a matter of a bunch of series of meetings that only Christians and the backslidden come to. We need revival to break out into the streets of Memphis. We need revival to break out into the restaurant. We need revival to break out everywhere. Let me just tell you, I don't care where you work. You're a source of light and you're a source of life. I want to close with this. Any of you ever been to I've used this so many, I don't have a better one so many times as an example. Any of you ever been to a very tragic funeral? Premature death, maybe a young person killed in a car accident. You know, those are the hardest, aren't they? Yep. Death is hard any time, but those are hard. And you're there at the visitation, and whether the casket is open or not, you know, and all of a sudden somebody walk in with a little baby like Judah. I've seen this at more memorials over the years, and everybody in that room that has been filled with the thought of death because of this premature death, everyone in that room gravitates to that baby. Whether it be like Josephine or Judah or Abigail or any of the children's here, because there's life on them. We're drawn to the innocence of life that comes off of babies and comes off of children. And I've watched how a whole room will shift. I am closing. We have a lady that's part of this congregation. She's at Methodist Teaching Hospital. I'm not sure that I know which one that is, but it's on Union. I'm pretty sure. Am I right? It's on Union. Her name is Rebecca Prosser. She's in room 748. She was diagnosed this week with stage 4 lung cancer. And it's actually, they feel like it's into her brain. I want us to pray for her. But I want to ask if you, Ira and Francine have some numbers. I want you to get by the hospital. Susan has some numbers for her. I want you to get by. She definitely does not have a lot of family that are faith people, that are filled. And we need to love her. To be truthful, the report is not good. Okay? But I haven't heard what the great physician is speaking yet. So I'm going to choose to trust what he wrote in an old book. Called God's Word. It says, by His stripes she's healed. And so I prayed for her on the phone. I've ministered to her, but I need you to go by. And I need you to minister to her. You know, I need you. We are family to her, and we need to be family to her. And you can get any information from Susan, but can we just pray for her? Father, I speak to that cancer that's in Rebecca's lungs. And I command it to bow its knee to the Word of God. Jesus, you took upon you our sickness, our infirmities, our diseases. And we just declare that from the crown of Rebecca's head to the soles of her feet, that cancer cannot remain. We declare deliverance. We declare healing. We declare renewal. We declare resurrection power over Rebecca. And Father, while we're praying for her, we hope I've forgotten your sister's name. What's your sister's name? What? Lisa? We pray over Hope's sister Lisa is battling basically the same thing. And we just declare over Lisa healing and health from the crown of her head. We declare that every treatment the doctor gives her is going to have supernatural ability. Yeah. And we declare that cancer is being driven from Rebecca and from Lisa's body and anybody else that's here that has a friend or a loved one that's been diagnosed with cancer. We declare that from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet, the anointing of God is being released. We bless Rebecca with life. We bless Lisa with life. We declare. And Father, we lift up Sean Jackson's wife that's having surgery here very soon. The 15th, I think it is, of July. And Father, we pray a financial windfall to them. The insurance is not going to pay for this surgery, this operation. And we just declare that you're going to provide for them and provide for them well. And we just declare that from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet, the anointing is touching her now. And Father, we just release your will being done. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. I just heard the Lord say to me as I was finishing that prayer that the things that look like they're upside down only appear to be so because they're actually right side up through a kingdom viewpoint. And so I just want to declare over you, over myself, he spoke it to me, so it's a word to me. Lord, give us a kingdom viewpoint. Don't let us buy into the negative. Don't let us yield to the negative. But let us yield to the positive. No weapon formed against us will prosper. We just declare these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. I bless you. I release you on this day after July the 4th, July the 5th. I release you to be blessed. I bless all of Michael and Jess's family. I do need to talk to you, Michael, for just a minute before you leave. I bless you. I bless any of our guests and visitors. This coming Sunday is going to be a great day. And we just bless you with that. We have a woman that will be here leading worship this coming Sunday. Her name is Bobby Ramirez. She works with us in Arkansas. And she's coming in to practice with the worship team for the Trail of Hope. And we just bless you. It's going to be a great time. Amen. Hug someone's neck. Tell them they're beautiful. Handsome. Anointed. Highly favored.